Yesterday, we brought you the story of a pioneering wind system in Western Alaska, where the four villages of the Chininik Wind Group are aiming to replace half their diesel use with wind power. But when it comes to energy innovation in rural Alaska, technology is only half the story. As APRN's Rachel Waldholtz reports, it's all about people power.
In Kwagilingok, the sun is shining, and the reflection off the tundra is almost too bright to bear. Of the village's five wind turbines, just one is turning. But 12 hours ago, these turbines took a serious beating. A major blizzard came through, with gusts up to 60 miles per hour. So Benny Daniel is getting ready to climb up and check the blades. Daniel is the lead wind tech in Quig. He's been doing this work for about 5 years. And at first, he wasn't so sure about the 80-foot towers.
At first, when I climbed, and I was like, what did I get myself into?
But now the turbines are totally his territory.
Especially when it's a warm, calm day. And the sun is out and it's warm and I like it up there.
He's up there in all kinds of weather, checking the brakes, the fluids, making sure there are no cracks or leaks. And while Quig's wind system is technically exciting, combining wind turbines, batteries, and electric thermal stoves with diesel generators, what's maybe more exciting is skilled people like Daniel, who maintain and operate the system with limited need for outside help. That's the key to a sustainable system in Alaska's remote villages, says William Igkaruk.
From time to time, we were always told that we didn't have no resources. By that, they probably mean that we didn't have human capacity. No, we didn't have no trained people.
Igkaruk founded the Chininik Wind Group, the coalition of four villages that are working together to displace diesel use with wind power. For years, he watched contractors come into town, build something, take their payment, and go. And the village was stuck trying to maintain whatever they left behind. When something broke, Quig had to call someone in, perhaps from the lower 48. Weather would delay parts, equipment, and mechanics. It was all expensive. This time, Igkaruk decided his people would help build the system so they could maintain it.
That would be a plus that would make someone's life a whole lot better, that they know that they would be able to compete in the world market.
Plus, with four villages working together, if Quig needs help, they can call in someone from Kangiganak. When something breaks, there might be a spare part in Tuntutuliak. Roderick Phillip of Kong is vice president of Chininik. He points out that most of the people working on the system speak Yupik as their first language. It helps to have multiple people going through training, translating concepts for each other. Now, he says, many of the turbine parts have Yupik names.
What we have today, like the bearing for on the wind turbine, they call it Pirlok, which is it's like a slide runner. And then they tell me it's worn out.
Philip says it's a natural fit in a region where people are already used to being self-sufficient.
We fix our everything. We have to keep everything going in our homes, our snow machines, our four-wheelers, our outboards. And that's one of the reasons why our people have been successful with operating and maintaining our systems.
Back at the turbine, Mike Wassily is getting ready to climb with Benny Daniel.
How is it up there?
It's fun. I like it.
You can see the ocean from up there.
Oh, can you?
Yeah.
Wassily is 27 and originally from Kong.
What did you do before this job?
I was a clerk at the local store in Kong.
How does this compare?
This is way better.
That's what Igkaruk likes to hear.
Our group has done something to prove that our people, once given a chance and the resources, that they are able to compete. I know our people can do once you give them a chance.
And the Chininik Wind Group aims to be one such chance. From the Energy Desk, I'm Rachel Waldholtz in Kwagilingok.